Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
I hate the argument that I keep hearing on this one in particular, and we hear it in a lot of these cases. Is, oh, it's a bad apple. Everybody's got bad apple. This is a bad orchard. The whole orchard needs to go down because it's infested, and there's nothing good that's going to happen of it. The fact that when her friend called the police department, unbeknownst to Sandra, because she knew about what had happened to her growing up, and they're adults now, they're 23 years old. The friend calls the police department to report this guy saying, hey, you know, this is what happened to my friend. You need to look into him so he doesn't do this to other people. And God knows if there's other people that are going to come out yet. They don't tend to just pick one and done with individuals like this.
Yep.
She calls it in. She's known as person number two in the affidavit. Person number five, the person at the police station. What do? And this just speaks to the culture of the whole damn thing. They don't go to HR. They don't go to a commander or chief or whoever would be in charge of looking at this and taking it where it needs to go for investigation. No, they took it directly to Farwell. Said, hey, somebody just called and said this about you. And then he, of course, says, don't speak of this to anyone, tries to brush it under the rug. 1 month later, she's dead.
It leaves you speechless. The depravity, the level of depravity is profound.
Yeah.
You know, so talking about the bad orchard here, for some reason, before these individuals even joined the force, they were gravitated towards it. They for some reason, so you have these bad apples that for some reason gravitated because they knew ahead of time in some way, either intuitively or by word of mouth, that they could do things and get away with them. So how long was this culture of horrendousness going on? Because just like this most likely isn't his only rodeo, it's most likely not the department's only rodeo. Because you're right, one bad apple, you know, an enigma. So if you have an arc of behavior in just individuals, as well as departments, organizations, institutions, and you might have a blip, single blips happen. But when you have multiple blips, that changes an entire trajectory of data points. And so the trajectory is different on this one for an entire organization. So now we got to start backtracking. When did that trajectory start changing? Because I seriously doubt it was with him. It doesn't go from 0 to 100. It's a culture. And so my next question in cases like this is, what was the leadership dynamic and who was at the head of it when it started that shift?
Yeah.
Because that's where we really got to start looking at when this all started happening.
What's fascinating to me about this community and in Canton right next door is how much it seems the community is very frustrated with their law enforcement. I mean, we saw that example of all of that with Karen Reed, how quickly the community came out with pitchforks and torches right away for those officers right there. I'm not even arguing if Karen Reed is guilty or not. It just seemed out of character for most communities to get that much behind someone who had allegedly run over an officer. They were just ready to, she's free no matter what, ignore the facts, ignore everything, because there's been that culture, because the public is aware that this culture exists. And if you're the bad apple or the bad whole shipment of apples that came from that orchard, and you're looking for some place to go, some place to fit in, some place where your dark depravity is not going to be looked down upon, but in fact embraced, It looks like it wouldn't be too hard if on the back end, before you get into this, into the force there, to go, that's a place for me, because look, you kind of, you have free reign. You can do pretty much anything because everyone's going to cover for you, because a lot of people are doing the same things.
So here's, you know, so let's do, again, conjecture. We don't live there. We don't see new things, but you know, we'll do our conjecture thought experiment on this. And this is the way human behavior works. And this is, you know, people talk about positive and negative energy that people put out.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not dismissing that. And it's very true. You know, they have positive, negative energy, and those positive and negative energy vibes that you get from people can really affect a community. So it doesn't even require law enforcement to do anything or say anything that will set someone off, because they'll say, well, what did I ever say? What did I ever do? Mm-hmm. But here's the way it works. We all have experienced, I'm sure, in our lives, I have, maybe you have, Tony, too, where when you're around someone, you can tell when they're looking down on you. Maybe their head angle's a little bit higher. Maybe they're kind of tilted their head back and looking down their nose at you. Mm-hmm. Little bit of arrogance when talking to you, because they have a sense of superiority that they're better than you.
Sure.
That comes from a culture that says, I'm better than you. That comes from a culture that says, we are all better than you. We look down upon you. We can, you know, you serve us, not the reverse. And so when you have a culture that does that, that's where that vibe comes from. So when you're interacting with law enforcement and they're not there to be to serve and protect, which is a lot of the mantras of law enforcement, and it's incongruent with their nonverbal body language of superiority, that's where that negative vibe, that's where that negative energy comes from. It's from their nonverbal looks and how it most likely would be incongruent with their messaging of to serve and protect.
Sure.
So that's why you have entire communities that might not have firsthand experienced these negative things personally themselves, but they felt that vibe because every time they're around law enforcement or seeing law enforcement or anything like that, if you have a preponderance of people, and a preponderance in this case would be even just 3 or 4, that's a large number.
Yeah.
You know, because in here we have a department, because I'm not saying everyone is bad, absolutely not.
Sure.
But you might have a reversal where instead of one bad apple, you might only have one or two or a small handful of good apples, potentially. Mm-hmm. And so that's why you have a shift of that negative vibe. And that's where it comes from. It comes from those nonverbals that they're giving off.
All right, true crime addicts, let's cut the crap. You're knee-deep in the gory details of your favorite podcast when suddenly a commercial hits like a bad meal. Seriously? You deserve better. Upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where you can binge without those annoying ads. Plus, get extended interviews that go deeper into the darkness and early access to episodes so you can be the first to know. It's like trading up from fast food to fine dining, but with more blood. So, go ahead, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and feast on the good stuff.